Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. What can wash away our sin? What can make us whole again? Nothing. Absolutely nothing but blood. The blood of Jesus. Amen. It's an oldie but a goodie. You know, Bobby and I never thought that by the time we turned 70, if we made it to 70, the way I was living my life, I didn't think I'd make it to 30, but by the grace of God, here I am. But we never thought we'd be as busy as we are. And everybody's busy. And I don't think God's impressed by how busy any of us are. But we thought once our girls were all raised and grown and married and on their own, that we could just coast a little. But obviously God had other plans. And as usual, his plans are so much greater than any plans that we could have come up with. Now, we do need our rest. I feel that more in my body as I get older. But then I thought, well, even God rested, right? God created the Sabbath. But if we're not careful, we can take that too far and become lazy. And that's not God's plan for any of us. No matter how old or no matter how young we are, if we still have a pulse, then we still have a God-designed purpose. But with technology and social media and being constantly bombarded with advertisements and clickbait and 24-hour-a-day news propaganda, if we're not careful, we can become so distracted by the devil's schemes that we'll miss. We'll miss what Holy Spirit is trying to alert us to and trying to warn us about. So the title of this morning's message is Be Alert, Be Watchful. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 Peter chapter 5, Isaiah chapter 56, and 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So Lord, we need to hear from heaven. We are living in a crazy, upside down world. And we need divine wisdom. We need you to step in and make things right again, Lord. But you've placed us here as your ambassadors, representing a kingdom not of this world. So teach us this morning. Give us some greater insight, or maybe just remind us of what we already know we should be doing that we're not. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is speaking to this church this morning. May your word go out and accomplish what you purposed it for. Because you said it won't come back void. It'll accomplish your purpose. And that's what we believe for and ask for and thank you for in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's look at our first scripture. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians and to us this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, he says, Be alert. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And then he adds, Do everything in love. Sometimes we forget that last part. Do everything in love. Not some things, not most things, but do everything in love. Because, see, love needs to be our motivation. Love was the motivation for everything Jesus did on earth. And we need to be modeling our lives after his, so love needs to be the motivation for everything we do. Sadly to say, it probably isn't all the time. But we also need to focus on being alert to what's going on around us in the natural realm as well as in the spirit realm. Because the devil is very, very sneaky, and he knows how to get our attention and how to distract us. And his game plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he knows if he can't kill us off, if he can't flat out destroy us, he'll settle for stealing from us. And he'll try to steal our peace. He'll try to steal our joy. He'll try to steal our marriages. He'll try to steal our friendships and our other relationships. He'll try to steal our kids and our grandkids and their futures. He'll try to steal our health. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And I say he will try to steal these things from us. Because I realized A lot of times in my own life, the devil wasn't stealing from me. I was giving my peace away. I was giving my joy away. I was even giving my health away by the stupid choices I was making. Can anyone else relate to that? Now, we know the devil's a liar. We know he's a thief, but sometimes we give him more credit than he deserves. I think we're fully capable on our own of screwing our lives up without him helping us. When I realized he wasn't stealing from me, I was giving it away. That's why we need to be alert. That's why we need to be watchful, so we can identify his attempts to trick us and his attempts to deceive us and distract us from what God is trying to show us. Oh, he's sneaky. He's a master at his craft, but the Bible tells me that greater is he who is in us than he who is in this world. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Like our title says, be alert. Be watchful. Look what the Apostle Peter tells us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. So we need to not just be alert, we need to stay alert and watch out. This isn't an occasional thing. This is constant. Stay alert. Watch out for your enemy, the devil. Why? Because he prowls. See, he doesn't just leisurely stroll like you're walking on the greenway. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, and that someone is us. Now, you can bet the devil stays alert. You can bet he's being watchful. Think about when Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted. The devil didn't come at him day one. He watched and waited until he started seeing Jesus starting to get weary, starting to get worn out. And then, after the 40 days, then he came. So he knows his timing. He waits for the most opportune time to strike. And his target is you and me and our loved ones and our families. And his target is our marriages. And he knows how, and he knows when to strike. That's why we can't afford to be distracted by a lot of the nonsense on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and a ton of other stuff on TV or on our phones that just sucks us in. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not against technology. I tried to avoid it as long as I could. But I realized it could be a real blessing. But it could also be a curse if we're not careful with it. That's why we need to be alert. That's why we need to be watchful. That's why we need to stay alert and watchful. Now, don't let this go in one ear and out the other. We are living in some very challenging times. And for people who are trying to live by biblical principles, we face being labeled as bigots and homophobes and racist and being judgmental and narrow-minded. Aren't you glad I'm not the one swinging the holy gavel? God's the judge. None of us. And he's a just God, and he's fair, and he's kind, and he's compassionate, and he's merciful, and he's loving, but he's also pure, and he's also holy. And he's not going to condone a lot of the stuff that's being celebrated in our nation these days. And he tells us, it's not on the screen, but in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, he says, be holy because I'm holy. Hard to misinterpret that one. Be holy because I am holy. That's a command. It's not just a suggestion. So he says, stay alert. His word says, stay alert and watch out for our great enemy, the devil, because he doesn't just want to give us a bad day. He wants to devour us. He wants to destroy us. You know, that same verse in another translation says, be sober-minded. Be vigilant. Be on your guard and stay awake. Keep your mind clear. When it says be sober-minded, it means mentally self-controlled. Remember, self-control, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. If we don't control ourselves, someone else will. So we need to be mentally self-controlled. We need to be sober-minded. We need to be mentally alert and watchful because we are facing a powerful enemy. Make no mistake about it. Now, I'm not saying we're supposed to believe there's a demon behind every bush and live in that fear constantly. But we need to be more aware of the demonic attack on our nation. We need to be more aware of the demonic attack on our government and on our communities and on our families and our marriages and the attack on our schools and our churches. And I got to tell you, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't address this issue. I owe that to you. And it's a responsibility that I don't take lightly. This is serious stuff. You know, I read a verse in Isaiah chapter 56 that addresses church leaders. And man, it really grabbed my attention. I hadn't read it before. And I guess God put it there for me before this Sunday. I can't ignore what's happening in our nation. And the whole world, for that matter. But look what God says through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 56 and verse 10. He says, "For the leaders of my people, the Lord's watchmen." You hear that? The Lord's watchmen, his shepherds. Now, I never wanted to be a preacher. When people say, "What are you preaching on this?" I don't even use that word. I'm speaking. Because I don't think of myself as a preacher. But, you know, I want to be a pastor to you folks. I want to be a shepherd to the flock. And here God is saying, "For the leaders of my people, the Lord's watchmen, his shepherds are blind and ignorant." Ouch. His shepherds are blind and ignorant. They're like silent watchdogs. Now, what good's a silent watchdog? Why have a watchdog if he's going to be silent? They're like silent watchdogs. They give no warning when danger comes. They love to lie around sleeping and dreaming. I don't want to be a silent watchdog. So I need you to be praying for me in that area because I need it. So we have to be alert, and we need to stay alert, and we need to be watchful and remember that our battle, our fight, isn't with people who disagree with us. Our fight isn't with people who don't believe what you believe. Those people aren't the enemy, but they're being manipulated by the enemy. They're being deceived by the enemy. And they may not even be aware of the deception because they're not alert. They're not sober-minded. They're not watchful. They're sucked up into all the other stuff that the world is distracting them with. Somebody needs to warn them of the danger they're in. Warn them about the lies they're believing. Warn them about them being deceived. But that's not easy because nobody wants to be deceived and nobody wants to admit they've been deceived. I've said this before. It's easier to deceive someone than it is to convince them that they've been deceived, right? It's a whole lot easier just to deceive somebody than to convince them, "Hey man, you're believing a lie. You've been deceived." Nobody wants to believe that. Stay alert, people, is what the Bible's telling us. Be sober-minded. Be on your guard. And stay awake. Keep your mind clear. That's what God's Word is telling us. Now, I got one more passage I want to really look into deeper, and then we'll pray. But in the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, he talks about church discipline. And apparently there was a man who caused a lot of trouble and really hurt the Corinthian church, and they disciplined him for it. He was punished for it. And now the Apostle Paul is telling the people, it's time to forgive this troublemaker, right? It's time to show this guy some kindness. So he doesn't get discouraged and just say, "Well, I'm done. I'm completely done with you people." Paul told the Corinthians, show him some love. Show him that you still love him. And let's face it, that's not easy to do after somebody has hurt us, is it? No. That's why we need Holy Spirit controlling us instead of our stubborn, prideful flesh. He said, "Well, I'll never talk to him again." Yeah. Look at what Paul told them in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, 10, and 11. He said, "I wrote to you as I did to test you, to see if you would fully comply with my instructions about forgiving this guy." He said, "When you forgive this man, I forgive him too. And when I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes." Look at that last part. "I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit." Why? "So that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes." That's because they stay alert and are watchful. Another translation, that verse says, "so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. In another translation, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. So that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Chris, I'm going to ask you to go to the closing slide, because that's the translation of this verse that I really want to use as we close. Yeah, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Let's look at this verse. The word ignorant, it doesn't mean dumb or stupid. I always thought it used to mean that. It comes from a Greek word meaning without knowledge or understanding of. It just means somebody doesn't have an understanding. Somebody doesn't have knowledge of this particular thing. And I found out that the English word agnostic is derived from that same Greek word that's for ignorant. So when you think about that, actually an agnostic isn't a person who is unsure if they believe in God, although that's the way we usually use that word. We call somebody an agnostic if they're not sure they believe in God. More accurately, though, according to the true definition of the word, an agnostic is a person who does not know, does not have any understanding, regardless of the subject, not just about God, but anything. They don't have understanding. They're without knowledge or understanding. Now, some people claiming to be agnostic might disagree with that, but I'm just going by the true meaning of the root word. And we also get our word ignore. You could kind of see where ignorant, ignore comes from that same word. So in this verse we're looking at, Paul is urging us not to ignore. Don't be agnostic. Don't be without understanding about the devil's schemes and strategies. Make sense so far? Hope so. Let's keep going. The word schemes, that comes from another Greek word, noema, which literally means thought. So this verse is basically saying, don't be without understanding of the way Satan thinks. See, battle strategy 101 is to know your enemy. Know how they think. And that Greek word for schemes also means plans, plots, or devices, because those things are the products of our thoughts, right? We think up plans. We think up plots. So let's put those definitions into this verse. And if we did, it would read something like this. Don't be without understanding of the way Satan thinks and operates. Don't be without understanding of his plans and his plots and his schemes and his devices. Here's a question. What happens if we are unaware of Satan's schemes? This verse says he'll take advantage of us, right? And that word advantage comes from another Greek word. But let me clarify something right here. I don't know these Greek words, okay? I'm up here talking about Greek words. I don't know these words. Some theology majors probably know these words, but I'm not one of them. My friend Dutch Sheets, who I read often and listen to his videos, he looked them all up for us to help us. Isn't that nice of him? He did all the research. He did all the studying on this, and he's just sharing it with us. So I'm borrowing from his studying and the time he spent understanding these words. So that word advantage comes from a compound word meaning to have or to hold the greater portion. It also means overreach. Now, in the sport of boxing, the person with the longer reach has the advantage over his opponent, right? He can usually get in more punches because he can reach further. And then I read that this same Greek word can also mean make a gain, like you're gaining something. I thought this can be confusing when the same word has all these different meanings. So please don't ask me to explain why. Ask Dutch Sheets. He's the expert, not me. So this word for advantage means to have or hold the greater portion. It could also mean overreach. It could also mean make a gain. So then, Satan makes a lot of gains on those who are unaware of his ways. So if we put those definitions into verse, stay with me, it's saying to the degree that we're ignorant of the way our enemy, the devil, thinks and operates, his plans, his schemes, his plots, to that degree, he'll gain from us. He'll have or he'll hold the greater portion. It's terrible. I hope this is making sense because we're in too deep now to go back. Right? Hang in there with me. We're writing this thing out. We may all have to go back and listen to the podcast to see if any of it made sense. So after Chris posts the podcast, I'm going to go back and look at it and listen to it again. Because guess what? Last week's podcast, nobody called me on it. Maybe you're just being nice. But we were talking about Saul of Tarsus before he became Paul. And he said, hey, he was bragging about his credentials as a Pharisee, right? And he got circumcised on the eighth day. And in the actual sermon I listened to, I said, I can't believe I said that. I said he got circumcised when he was 8 years old. I said, no, not 8 years old, 8 days old. So forgive me for that one, if anybody caught that or not. So I'm going to have to go back and listen to this after Chris posts to see if this makes sense. I sure hope so. Help us, Lord. All right. Let's keep plowing. Satan wants the greater portion of our hearts, of our health. He wants the greater portion of our families, of our marriages, of our kids and grandkids and all our loved ones. He wants all of them. Satan wants the greater portion of our jobs, our money, our communities. He wants the greater portion of our nation. He wants the greater portion of our government and our schools and our churches. This is why we need to stay alert and be watchful and pray that watchman's prayer in Ephesians 6:18. It's not on the screen, but he says, pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. He says, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. So we need to stick together on this. The devil knows there's power in unity. That's why he's relentless in his attack and his efforts to divide us and distract us, because he knows if he can divide us, he dilutes our power. We can't afford to let that happen, church. We got to remember that John 17 prayer of Jesus, where he says that we, the church, we would be one as he and the Father are one. That's unity, and he knows there's power in unity, and the devil knows there's power in that unity too. And just like that verse we already looked at from 1 Peter, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. These are prayers for spiritual warfare. Both verses warn us to stay alert. So we need to realize that protection from the attacks of our enemy is not just an automatic thing. We have a part to play in protecting what's been assigned to us. We know God is sovereign, but he leaves many decisions for us to make, which is good, having free will. But man, sometimes I wish he didn't leave all those decisions up to us to screw up. But if God, think of this, if God was just going to protect us from all of Satan's attacks, regardless of what we did or what we didn't do, then these verses on warfare and these warnings to stay alert and watchful, they'd be meaningless. They wouldn't be necessary. They wouldn't be relevant if he was going to just protect us no matter what. But see, we got to figure in our human responsibility. A lot of people don't want any kind of responsibility. It doesn't work that way. Our decisions and our actions or our lack of actions have consequences for us and our loved ones and those around us. It doesn't just affect us. And God's plan is to warn us, and it is to alert us to the devil's schemes and strategies. If God's word says stay alert, be sober-minded, be watchful, be on the alert for Satan's attacks, and obviously he's willing to make us more aware of them. I mean, think about it. God wouldn't ask of us something he wouldn't enable or empower us to accomplish, right? So we must stay alert. We must remain watchful, or we won't be even aware of God's warnings. Never mind the devil's attacks, we won't hear the warning. We won't be aware of the warning. If the attacks of Satan were always obvious to us, we wouldn't need to stay alert. We'd see him coming from a mile away, and we would avoid him. The Lord doesn't want us to be silent watchdogs or blind watchmen. Silent watchdogs. I was thinking of that. Silent watchdogs, blind watchmen. That's what you call an oxymoron, right? Kind of like jumbo shrimp or government intelligence. Silent watchdogs, blind watchmen. We must do a whole lot more than casually just take a glance around. We have to alertly watch. We have to be alert and we have to be watchful, amen? Because listen, if we're not alert, if we're not watchful, if none of this sinks in and makes us think about this, if we remain ignorant of Satan's attacks, he will take advantage of us. He will destroy us. He will devour us. And sadly, what the Lord spoke through the prophet Hosea could come true when he said, "My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge." But we know better. I mean, we know better. We know Satan and demons are real. We know they seek to deceive us, steal from us, torment us, destroy us. We can't deny that reality or be ignorant of the spiritual conflict taking place in our land. Now, we don't need to be preoccupied with Satan. Like I said, we're not going to be worried as a devil behind every bush. But we can't live in denial of his existence or his influence because it's strong. Not as strong as the Lord, thank God. But I want to end with this story. I read in this devotion I read this week, and I believe it fits in with what I've been trying to get across. I hope it's been successful. Listen to the podcast later. Anyway, this is this thing I read in this devotion. There was this desert nomad, lived way out by himself in a tent. And one night he woke up really hungry. Sounds like me every night, waking up hungry. Anyway, this guy, he lights a candle in his tent, and he grabs a bag. He had a sack with some fruit, some figs in it that he had picked a couple days before. And he's hungry, so he wants a midnight snack. So he takes a bite out of one of the figs, and as he's chewing it, he holds the fig up to the candle, and he sees a worm in it. Yuck, right? And he spits the fig out and throws it out of his tent. He goes, "No wonder that thing tasted so funny." He grabs another fig, bites into it, finds another worm in this one, spits it out, throws it out again. He does it a third time. Same thing happened. He's beginning to think, "Man, does this whole sack of figs full of worms? If this keeps up, I'm not going to get anything to eat." And he's thinking, "But I'm hungry. I want something to eat." So what does he do? He blows the candle out and eats five more figs and goes back to sleep. I mean, sometimes we're like that. Listen, sometimes we prefer the darkness of denial instead of the light of the truth because it's easier that way sometimes, right? The truth may not always be what we want to hear, but denying it doesn't change it. The devil's real. His attack is relentless. He is aggressively warring against us because he knows his time is running out. But he's made some great gains in our nation, right? He's made some great gains in our government and in our schools. They took prayer out of the schools. Look what happened, right? The devil moved right in, and now kids are more confused than ever. He's even made great gains in the churches, sadly to say. And that has to stop. That has to stop and be reversed. But thankfully, God is raising up a company of people, a company of watchmen and women who have relit the candle and are revealing the truth. And that's what we need to do. We need to join them. And may Joy Christian Fellowship, may this tribe of joy, may we be a company of people who stay alert and are not ignorant of the devil's schemes to destroy our nation. Let's not be blind watchmen or silent watchdogs. Let's be watchful. Let's be informed. And may we walk in the authority that Christ has given us as his ecclesia, his governing body here in the earth. And may we all be united and determined to take back this nation for Christ and his kingdom. Amen. Amen. Let it be so. America shall be saved in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Please stand with me if you're able. We'll have a closing prayer. If you want prayer for anything, if I can pray for you, come on down. If you want to pray where you are, if you got to go, God bless you. Have a great afternoon. Come back next Sunday. Bring somebody with you. Remember, we can't come in through the front, the exit, or the entrance. Got to go around. If you're not sure where that is, I'll tell you later. Oh, Jesus, thank you for the truth in your word. Thank you, Father, that you give us fair warnings. All through your word, you're telling us, be alert. Pay attention. Be sober-minded. Be clear-minded. Be watchful. Help us not to be subdued by the lure of the things of this world to the point where we're not even watching what's going on. There's so much we can see on the news today. It's just a diversion. It's just a distraction from the things that really need to be focused on and keyed on. But the media has even been swayed into covering stuff up that should be exposed. So, Lord, you handle all that so much better than we can. We don't want to get into finger-pointing or blaming anybody, but we just want to look to you. And as your ecclesia, we're here as your ruling, governing body. Let us function as one. Let us not be silent watchdogs, God. Let us warn others. If people are being deceived and buying the lies, Lord, help us in a loving way. Not point it out and say, you're wrong and I'm right. But in loving compassion and concern. Reason with people. And say, tell me, why do you believe that? Because I don't think that's true. And this is why. We can't do it in our own strength and in our own wisdom. We need Holy Spirit influence. We need Holy Spirit anointing to do those things well in a way that's going to reach people's hearts. And Lord, your word says it's your kindness that leads to repentance. So let there be a kindness attached when we get into conversations with people. Not arguing, not debates, just coming together and reasoning together, speaking the truth in love. Help us do a better job of that because time is short. This world's in a mess, Lord, but we know none of this took you by surprise. So empower us and equip us when we leave here. Let's not just be all about this when we're in here and then forget about it when we go out there, because that's where it counts, out there, tonight, tomorrow, the rest of the week, every day from now on. So help us represent you better here in the earth as your ambassadors. In Jesus' name, this nation will come back to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.